It's great to be with you guys. We love being here. You're such lovely people. You make us feel so welcome. We really enjoy being here. You know, we've been to a few churches in our lives, and some have been great, some haven't been so great. But this is one of the great ones, so it's good to know, isn't it? Yeah. I just want to pray a particular prayer before we open the Word of God. I just want to encourage you to get your hearts and your minds ready for what God has to say. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that it is life and it is meant to be life-changing. And I just pray for each one of us that we will hear something fresh and new from you. I just pray, Father, for your wisdom, for myself and what to say, what to leave out. And I pray, God, that each one of us will go out of here having heard you and in the process of being changed. Amen? Great. We've been doing a series back home in our church about called God's Church, God's Mission. And I did this talk at our home church last week, and I just really felt it was right to do it this morning. And it's about our life being a mission. Our life is mission. Yes, God gave us the Great Commission, but our lives also need to be on mission. So I just want to ask you this question. What do people see when they look at you? What do people see when they look at me? What am I reflecting? Am I reflecting the goodness of God? Am I reflecting the character of Jesus? What am I reflecting? What do people see when they look at me? And, you know, for those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, for me, it was, 44 years ago. I gave my life to Jesus on September the 9th. And it was the first time I heard the gospel. I went with a friend. She invited me. And I was age 12. And I think for about a year, I've come from a very broken family. And for about a year, I don't know why, I started going around to various churches and totally unchurched family. But then I went to this one group, and for those of you who are old enough to remember, it was a Covenanters group. People remember Covenanters? Just so, you know, we might not be the same generation, but my church was the one that won all the shields in the London events, just letting you know. No, you're a different generation, love. In my generation, in my generation, we won everything. It was Speller Lane Church, and they won everything. It was a joy. But anyway, before I knew anything about Covenanters, I was invited to Covenanters. And then in the olden days, you went to Covenanters, and then you all headed into the traditional gospel service at 6:30 or 6 o'clock, wherever it was. And that was the first time I heard the gospel. And I'd gone with a friend, and another friend had invited us, and he gave the altar call, and I really wanted to go out. It was the first time I'd heard an altar call, you know, so it's quite a scary thing. But I didn't go out. I was too scared. And I went home, and on the way home, my friend said, I want to go back, and I want to pray that prayer. Thank you, Jesus. And I went back with her, and I was so grateful that she wanted to do that, and I prayed that prayer. And I remember it as if it was this morning, because something changed in my life. As I say, I was only 12. I was a really good girl. Went downhill from there, but I was a good girl up until I got saved. But I just remember having an awareness of sin in my life, and something changed. And my journey of change started on September the 9th, 1973. And if you have given your life to Christ, you started your journey of change. There has to be a journey of change. We cannot stay the same. And we'll look at why we can't stay the same. Because in Ephesians 5, 8 to 11, bless you, Matt, you are a star. Lisa, bless you, Lisa, you're a star-ess. Thank you. Because they didn't have a PowerPoint, and I thought, well, and I know here they can just put scriptures up, which is fab. And I love the amplified version. So I think all of them are amplified version. Okay, Ephesians 5. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. live as those who are native born to the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord and letting your lifestyles be examples of what is most acceptable to Him. Do not participate in the worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. Well, that's not a problem then, is it? That's really easy to do, isn't it? That's not Mission Impossible, is it? That is such a challenge, isn't it? Walk as children of light. Live as those who are native born to the light. I am native born to Liverpool, so I am Scouse through and through. And there is a way you live as a Scouse there. If you are born there, you know, you would know that native born Scousers are very different from people who've been adopted Scousers. And you know, not only can people tell by my accent, but they'd probably also be able to tell by other characteristics. And people need to see the challenge is here that wherever we are with our families, our work colleagues, in the shops, you know, getting served by somebody, that there is something they see that is native born to being the children of God. And that's a real challenge, but it's a journey. I want to encourage you that there's grace here. It is a journey, and we'll make mistakes in that. But once you start that journey, you know that something changes in your conscience, and things that you could once do, you can no longer do. Of course, we can learn to block off that conscience and do the things that we should not do. But we make a choice in those things. We make an absolute choice to do those things. Trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord. There's a learning process we gain with experience. Definition of insanity is people who do the same thing expecting a different outcome. Insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome. You know, we need to learn. If we make mistakes, let's not do the same things, expecting it to somehow, the second time or third time we do it, it isn't wrong. And you know, there isn't consequences for it. So we start our journey of change and of growth. Our lives are a mission statement. And we need to remember that we are reflecting Jesus Christ to every single person around us, even inside the church as well as outside the church. So we need to take that responsibility really, really seriously. But we need to remember He is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of kindness. He's a God of love. And He's not a judgmental God. But He has a Holy Spirit who nudges us and says, that's not quite right, Julie. You shouldn't really be doing that. You know, let's see an alternate way of doing it next time. But we can turn the volume down on the Holy Spirit. And then we get into all sorts of problems. And hopefully changes are seen by our friends, our colleagues, our family. You know, I remember when I became a Christian, and in the olden days, you know, they said to me, right, you made a decision to be Christ. It is sealed when you tell somebody about it. Did anybody ever get told that? I don't know where they thought that magic formula came from. But, you know, and it was like, well, I need to tell somebody when I go home, otherwise I'm not really saved. Okay. But you need to remember I had zero church understanding, zero church learning. So I remember, all right, I've got to tell my mum. And not particularly close to my mum at that point in my life. And I'd gone to bed and I hadn't told, and I thought, I'm going to lose my salvation, I'm going to lose it. And so I remember shouting down the stairs and saying, Mum, and she came to the bottom of the stairs, and I said, I became a Christian tonight, all right, see you tomorrow. And I thought, okay, I'm done, I've got my heaven place. It wasn't quite, I didn't have the reserve seat that you have on the train. The ticket wasn't quite in, but it was in now. I told my mum, it was all good. I think she said, oh, right, okay. And it was one of those, well, let's just wait and see. Let's see how long it lasts. Let's just wait and see. Just give her time. Well, it's lasted a little bit of time. But things start to change. Ezekiel 36:26 says this, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." And, you know, God wants us to have a soft heart, because a soft heart is a receptive heart. And that's much easier if we have a soft heart to change, to start becoming more like Jesus to those around us. And, you know, a lot of us, through circumstances, certainly through from my family situation, I had a really hard stone heart, because it was the only way I'd survive what was going on in my family, so I had to protect it. You know, and then God is so gracious, and he just gives you that opportunity where he wants to say, "Oh, can I just do something with that?" And he comes in with a sledgehammer. It's not great, but I'm going to tell you, it is worth it. It's unnecessary. Ephesians 4:21-24 says this, "If in fact you've really heard him and have been taught by him, just as truth is in Jesus, revealed in his life and personified in him, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike in the righteousness and the holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation." Again, God is saying there has to be a process of change, but it is a process. But we have to engage with it. You know, we can't say, well, after 44 years, okay, surely the change is done. No, because for me, you know, there are periods of backward steps when I've taken on wrong attitudes or wrong thinking, or haven't engaged with the Holy Spirit, I've turned the volume down. I'm like, I just need a break from change. Just give us a break. I need a break from the challenge. I've got enough going on in my life, you know, and then we don't stand still. Can I just tell you, there is a backwards or there is a forward, because we have an enemy, and he's not going to not do anything if we decide that we're just disengaging for a while. He's got a great opportunity to get a foothold and bring some damage into our lives. So we have a responsibility to live a life that is renewed. Our lives are missional. Our lives are a mission statement. What others see in you and me, does it draw them closer to God, or does it repel them? You know, we're not going to ever be people who are perfect, but there's nothing wrong with aiming for perfection. There's nothing wrong with moving towards that goal of perfection. We need to be men and women who live lives of integrity. I love the word integrity. I love the character of integrity. Integrity is this: the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. But our moral principles and our standards need to be based on the Word of God. Because when they're not, we have an enemy who will want to alter our principles and our morals. And suddenly the things that we once found unacceptable to do now seem maybe a little bit okay to do. We've heard plenty of stories of men and women who've had strong, serious moral failures. And you would have thought that 5-10 years ago they would never have done that. And something has changed. Something that they have stopped doing, started doing, allowed to happen and influence in their lives. And, you know, you and I know that when the morals and principles, when they're not rooted in Christ and the Word of God, they are a playground for the enemy. And whatever decisions and choices that we make that are not godly, we're deceived into thinking it just affects us. But there is huge fallout from those things. I know it sounds a bit heavy, but just, you know, for us, there's a recent situation that's just really, really sad. Matthew 5 says this, 14-16, "You are the light of Christ to the world." There you go. Again, no pressure, hey? "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And here we go. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence, and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So when they see how we live our life, what comes out of our mouth, the choices that we make, it reflects God. And how is that reflection, you know? And I know all of us would say, yeah, we want to glorify God with our lives. You know, we don't want to dishonor him. But I think sometimes we forget that actually we are reflecting him, you know, because we get on with our lives, don't we, and our busyness. And you know, if we make mistakes, that's okay. But we have to go back and rectify them if we can. And that's okay. Because when we go back to somebody and we say, Joe, do you know, I think what I said to you wasn't really great. Obviously, that's never happened, Joe. It's not really great. And I'm sorry for my attitude. Forgive me. He has a choice then, okay? But I mean, if Joe was not a Christian, I still need to go back and say those things. And by doing that, we are honouring God and we are reflecting the goodness of God, because people don't live outside of the church in a world where people usually say sorry or apologise or ask forgiveness. It's all about, well, you know, I have a right to say and do and live the way I want to. Matthew 5 in the Message puts it this way, and actually says, here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. Isn't that great? I love that line. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Isn't that, sometimes the Message just puts it in a great way, I think. And, you know, so it's, I think that's a really encouraging and light way to put it. You know, the other version might be a way of putting it, but this one is just a really, I think, encouraging and yet still a powerful way to put it. So there's the challenge. What are people seeing? What are we reflecting? What are we shining when the people look at us? Do they even know that we are Christians? Have we ever talked about our faith? Oh, well, I don't need to talk about it, Julie. I just need to live a good life. No, 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 no. We need to do both of those things. We need at every opportunity to talk about Jesus. And day was 16 September, and we'd saved up all year, and we went on a cruise. Never been on a cruise. People said about going on a cruise, and we're like, no. But we saw that in Liverpool, the Cunard Three Queens came to Liverpool and did this spectacle. It was absolutely awesome about three or four years ago. And Dave and I just saw them with over a million other people, and it was, wouldn't it be amazing to go on one of those ships? Never, ever thinking that we would, and God just really blessed us with that opportunity. And when you book it, you pick what size table you want dinner on. So I picked a table of 8. And you know, Dave just let me just book it and do it. And I know that when Dave goes on holiday, he just wants to switch off. But I was praying the opposite. I was praying for great opportunities to share the gospel with whoever we were with on the table. It's okay, what's ongoing there, just, it'd be great just to focus. And we just had over the 2 weeks, just opportunity after opportunity after opportunity just to share the gospel with these people. A couple from America, a couple from England, and a couple from Canada. Just so many opportunities, and just to let them, and they've asked us to pray about things, and it's still in contact since we've got back, and, just, like Nick Harding, he's just evangelist through and through. Like he goes on a flight somewhere, it's like, Grace, I'm sitting next to somebody, I've got a captive audience, I am going to preach the gospel socks off myself today. And when I get on a flight, I'm like, I do not want to talk to anyone. Do you know what I mean? I just don't want to talk to anyone. But I just really felt that this was an opportunity to share the gospel. Maybe it's because we've done a series on God's mission. And we just had some great conversations, didn't we, Dave, and great opportunities just to share the gospel with them. It's just fantastic. So yes, it's great that they see we, you know, make right choices, live good lives, not get involved in conversation that we shouldn't do and all that kind of stuff. But at some point, we have to tell them about Jesus. You know, and we can pray for those opportunities. But they need to see a godly lifestyle. Ephesians 4:29 says this: do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. You know, what kind of people are we around the people that in our lives? You know, are we, you know, angry, bitter, resentful, narky people, you know? Or are we people that are just, that speak joy and peace, hope into situations? Yeah, we're normal. You know, we have breakdowns. We have those angry spats. That's not the same as having a sort of an angry character, you know, for it to come out occasionally. You know, we can live normal lives amongst our friends and contacts, you know, and still be able to minister the things of God. In fact, it's necessary that we do. You know, what would people, if we asked them, write down what you think about me and, you know, how I live my life. Write down some adjectives that describe it. It'd be interesting what they would write. We are to be a reflection of Christ in our worlds. You know, sometimes we need to get angry about things. There are some serious injustices in the world, and it's okay to have a righteous anger about those things. Jesus did. You can read the Gospels about that. It's great to get passionate about certain topics. I'm all for that. But how we relay that passion will either repel them or draw them to Christ. It is a challenge to honour Jesus with our lives. We are to be missional with our lives. We are to display godliness. You know, maybe some people have come to mind and you think, actually, I probably need to go back and apologize to them. Might be inside the church or outside the church. I want to encourage you to do that and redeem that situation. We are to be men and women who display the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, there's some sections of it that I'd like us to read through. And while I'm reading through it, I just want you to be open to the Holy Spirit and just see if there's any challenges there for you, anything that the Holy Spirit has turned the volume up on that we need to pay attention to. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance, and then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do. Just to pause for a moment there. You know, if I think about people, and you may know people who've had serious moral failures, it didn't happen that one time. It wasn't just that one day, that one event. There is a lead up to those things. There will be a drip, drip thing happening. Something that they have just started investing in that they shouldn't invest in. And just that gap has got wider and wider and wider, and that volume has gone down. And the flesh has a huge appetite, and it wants to be met. And so we are encouraged to habitually, continually live and walk in the Holy Spirit. And it says, and then we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. There is a great opt-out opportunity here for us of the desires of the flesh. So we cannot say, I didn't have a choice, I had to do it. We cannot say, I had no control over it. We do. We have a way of living a right lifestyle. Now, the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. And I know whatever version you read, that the list varies slightly. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. And I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, joy, inner peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. But have we? And are we doing that on a regular basis? Let me read that again. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage. Our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have an aid to live a godly lifestyle, and that's the Holy Spirit. We must not become deceited, challenging, or provoking one another, or envying one another. We can do this. We can live a life that honours and glorifies God. Our mission statement to others can be a really positive one because God has made provision. 2 Peter 1:1-3 says that he says this: Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received and possessed by God's will a precious faith of the same kind as ours. Put your hand up if that is you. Those who have received and possessed by God's will a precious faith of the same kind as ours. Yep. A precious, by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ, grace and peace, that special sense of spiritual well-being be multiplied to you in the true, intimate knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And here we go. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. Everything. Through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and grace. Absolutely everything necessary. And you may not have been saved long, or you may have been in a church that didn't teach these sort of things. Be gracious and kind to yourself. Each of us, we're learning day by day as we put godliness into practice. And when we fall back onto his grace and his forgiveness. And say, okay, Holy Spirit, show me how to do that well next time. Show me how to do that better next time. Knowing his forgiveness and his goodness. And to finish, the same passage, just verse 3 in the Amplified says this: everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we have ever received. That's great, isn't it? You know, and so if the worship team could get back up, maybe, you know, Holy Spirit has, yeah, everyone? Yep. Maybe the Holy Spirit has challenged you or nudged you on maybe some areas that you haven't got right. And but with the nudge, there's always his grace and his kindness towards us. So I don't want you to feel condemned. I don't want you to feel judged. Yes, I want you to feel challenged. But I want you to believe that God is here to forgive and to say, I'm here if you want to engage in the change. And the worship team are going to sing a song. It's a song you know, but I would encourage you not to sing it. If you could sing it through twice, and then we'll join in. But while they're singing it, I want us to just close our eyes and just have that moment with God, that maybe we need to put some things right, that we need to ask forgiveness. Maybe we need to write down some people's names that we need to go and have a little chat with and apologise for some things. Maybe we just want to renew that fresh call on God. So God, I'm here, I give my life to you. I want my mission statement to be a godly one. I want people, when they look at me, to know that I reflect Jesus Christ with my life. And just recommit that again. So they're going to sing it through twice. Just receive that blessing as they sing. And then we'll join in.